Am I a monkey gone wrong? Some might say yes, he is. Sometimes I wonder myself, but when I come back to my senses and ponder about life, then no matter what happens or has happened, I am still the happiest man alive. Something I realized, there is truth, love, and life on the one side, but when I get out of bed on the wrong foot, then I have gloom and grumbles on the other side. So how do I want to live today? Psychologists tell me that it is my decision. Well, that is easier said than done. I woke up with cramps in my feet. The hospital septic tank is full. The sponsoring charity is falling apart, and then some. But the good news is we caught two rats this week. The sun is shining. I fixed a long stick to the bucket to empty the septic tank. And the other night, we had a fun dancing night with all the children jumping around like monkeys. So maybe I am a monkey gone wrong. Or am I happy? Because I know that things work out for good to them that love the Lord, and that His will is done on earth as it is in heaven. I am okay with His will being done in heaven, but does it also apply to His will being done on earth? Although we pray that part in the Lord's Prayer, I must be missing something, as it seems here on earth, we don't need God's interference. Forget the rules, and we're heading straight for imminent disaster. Karl Marx proclaimed, "Religion is the opium of the people." Is there truth in that? One thing that religion can do is send us into a drug-like state of wonderful. I have found the truth. I have found God, or because I got rid of God, depending on my religion, which includes atheism. One definition of religion states, a pursuit or interest followed with great devotion. So we are devoted to whatever our cause may be. To many of us, religion is a friendship club that shields us from the needs of the world around us, and we will give some coins to our club to show our dedication without really reaching out to others. When we take an honest, objective look at religion, it becomes apparent that religions divide mankind. Prejudice, intolerance, and narrow-mindedness are some of the most prevalent symptoms of religion, while God is totally opposite. He wants us to love each other, to be friends. He made us social beings. It is not to look down our nose at the other person because I have the true religion. Isn't that what everyone thinks? Whether Buddhist or Baptist, Scientologist or Sikh, atheist or agnostic, Jew or Jain, Catholic or Protestant, Hindu or Muslim, religion seems to be the most divisive indoctrination against God because we think that God is religious like us. Well, He is not. We are. At a recent religious festival, I was asked to explain God to a group of students with different religions. I pulled an orange out of my pocket and explained that this is the way that many of us experience God. We take a bite in it as it is, and it tastes awful. Now the peel represents religion and the way we perceive God to be. All too often, God is used as a stick to enforce our personal morals and doctrines upon others and our children. If you do this, God will be angry with you. And if God gets angry, anything bad can happen. If you don't go to the temple, to the mosque, or to church, you probably end up in hell. We throw away the orange and we say, I have tasted God and He tastes terrible. He is not my cup of tea. We throw out the baby with the bathwater. Hello? Wait a minute. You forgot to peel it. Duh. When we make the effort to peel it, we throw away the peel and read what God said in His Word, then we find out what He is really like. Like the orange, He is refreshing, juicy, invigorating, sweet, life-giving, and He just tastes so good, especially if you thirst for the truth. I broke the orange in pieces and shared it with the students on the front row. We ended the explanation with a short prayer. The students were thankful, not only for the fact that it was not a long, drawn-out religious discourse, but they commented on how much they appreciated the simple allegory. I do feel bad for poor Karl Marx. It seems he choked on the peel and he never made it to the juicy part. Let's think outside our religious box of God has to be a certain way to fit my thinking. If he does not do what I say or pray, well, tough luck for God, but I don't want him anymore in my life. Isn't that the reason we also throw the towel in with our marriages? As our spouse does not always do what we say or even demand? Men and women are opposite sex. We like the sex part, but we don't do so well with the opposite part. We think we are boss, and it is the other that does not cooperate. We refuse to learn the lessons of humility, forgiving, saying I'm sorry, and apologize. Me sorry? No way. Let the other apologize. With the result that our quote-unquote love boat crashes on the rocks. It is pretty much the same way we treat God. He just has to know that if we are going to believe in him and work together, that he needs to do what I say and pray, and then we will have a good relationship. Otherwise, it is goodbye. Well, that's not a relationship. That's a dictatorship. What if we don't throw in the towel and with an open mind try to understand if God actually has a plan for mankind and for me personally? If God created Adam in his image and I am a son of Adam, then I want to understand what his motive was in creating him and consequently me. What was his original plan for mankind? Was he only there when he created Adam, or is he still involved in this world and the running of it? How can an average guy like me understand the vast, incredible scientific knowledge and wisdom of God? I can't. Zero chance. Yet I need to know, I want to know, I have to know if there is a plan for my life. God has promised to reveal himself to those that seriously seek him, and I am serious. Honestly, religion made my hair stand up. As I thought that believing in God was like being drafted. Do this or else. Now you're in the army and you do what you're told, he barked. I did not appreciate to be talked to like that. And after some stubborn 5-6 weeks, I was happy to get kicked out. Next, I was going to take on God. I just have to laugh thinking about how ignorantly stupid I was. I always kind of respected Jesus, but honestly, I had no idea who or what God was. I thought he was an old bearded man with a stick ready to wallop. On top of that, he had a lot of big expensive buildings all over the world. Well, that was my thinking until the age of 21. Finally, I started reading what God had actually written to me. I saw how simple and uncomplicated his plan for me really was. His commandment was not a bunch of laws of do's and don'ts or else. It was simple, that you love each other, says in John 15:12. It seemed like Jesus fitted right into the hippie movement of the time. Love is all you need. It's flower power. I wanted to be that way, a free and loving person, no ulterior motives of money, business, uncomplicated, no strings attached. Like I said, I like Jesus. But it was not until I realized what he gave for me and how he was the complete embodiment of love and 100% personification of the Father that things changed for me. And I dedicated myself to him and what he stood for. He was not a namby-pamby religious do-gooder. He was full of life, spoke the truth, restored broken lives, blasted hypocrisy, loved sinners like you and me, and depending on how much percentage of our life we surrender to him, so much he can protect us in that impenetrable blanket of love, truth, freedom, and happiness. With his life, Jesus set a sample to hold on to. In good times and bad times, he showed us that if we have the tenacity to not let go, we will come out on top as winners. Jesus is called the Word of God. If I want to get to know him better and love him more, all I need to do is not only read and absorb God's word, also known as the Bible, but see how we can actually put it into practice by helping another struggler along the path of life. God is not in it for the money. Maybe some of God's alleged representatives and abundant living preachers are in it for the money, but God is not. He is filthy rich. He hid his diamonds, gold, oil, and minerals in the earth just to see what kind of decisions we would make and whether these things would build or ruin our character. We might not think much of it, but these tests of our character are the main reason for our whole existence on earth. I realized that the very most important thing that I need to learn in this arena of life is to love the other. What are my decisions? Will I give or grab? Will I help or hinder? Will I love or loathe? Be kind or kill? Share or shoot? Will I fear and follow the crowd or stay faithful to Jesus? Choose God or Satan, life or death? This applies to all different aspects of life, whether it's money, driving, friends, enemies, sex, sports, our work, or any interaction with others. As Saint Francis said, it is in giving that we receive. It is in dying to ourselves that we are born again to eternal life. And I'd like to add, it is even in sorrow that we can find happiness and fulfillment in Jesus. God is not a once-a-week sing-along. He is life, energy, love, truth, and total freedom in surrender. At johanpeters.in are 27 audios, prophecy bites of 2 to 4 minutes, 90-some pamphlets on many subjects. There are several short books available on how things will soon unfold. A Man of Sufficient Stature, Part 1 and Part 2, which are 2 short booklets. All downloads are free, no cookies, no info requests.